Hello everyone, welcome to J-Talk Extra Time. My name is Stuart Smith, and the next voice you're going to hear is John Steele. John, how are you, buddy?
Stuart, I'm very well, thanks. Yeah, good to be back, back and banging, having some J-League chat.
Yeah, it is. We've just spent 15 minutes in the green room talking about Paul Pesci-Solido, so it's time for us to get on to the Japanese game. And we've got a little bit of news, some of it maybe even classed as breaking news. I don't know if we can pester Ben into getting us some kind of breaking news graphic to put at the bottom of this podcast feed. But yeah, we're going to come on to that in a minute. But there are some positive signs. I don't want to go too overboard, but there is maybe some light at the end of the J-League tunnel as we're looking at it now. This week it was announced that the Japanese Professional Baseball League will start their games in mid-June as a tentative start date. I think they're going to start off behind closed doors and then work from there. And it's been reported in a few outlets that the J-League is looking at a possible July start for the J-League. It's restart for J1 and J2 and a July start for J3. Now, John, you came across something pretty nerdy, which you think might put a little bit of meat on the bones of this story, I gather?
I thought that the big news was I received my Abenomi masks in the post today.
We still haven't got ours.
Yeah, so I thought that was... But yeah, not only that, Stu. I'm a proud or slightly peeved owner of the DAZN season pass for this season, as we've discussed at length, or I've certainly banged on about at length on the pod before.
Thoughts and prayers.
But sometimes when it comes to DAZN, news filters out from weird sources sometimes. So when you buy the season pass for DAZN, you have a few options, and you can buy it from the official J-League website, or you can buy it from the club's official shop, usually online shop. And if you do that, you get like a 2,000 yen coupon or voucher that you can use at the goods stall when you're at the stadium or whatever. Tokyo Verde's official Twitter was tweeting out that if you have a DAZN season pass, if you've paid for it but you haven't activated it yet, so you haven't kind of input, you haven't scratched off the barcode and put the number in, there was a deadline for that before it expired, which I think was in April, but I can't remember exactly now. But they announced, or they tweeted, that deadline has been extended to the end of June. So to be clear, if you've bought a DAZN season pass but you haven't activated it yet, it's still valid, and it will be valid to put the number in and start your season pass from the end of June. So putting two and two together, I think that's not a solid indication, but it is an indication that DAZN maybe knows something or has the idea that by the end of June something will be happening, or something will at least be clarified about when the J League will start up again.
Yeah, I mean, the signs have been pointing this way a little bit over the past week. This isn't a political podcast, and nor is it a data analytics podcast. So I don't want to get into any arguments about the validity or the veracity of the testing and the data numbers in Japan. I can only give you the perspective that I've got living in Gifu, and Gifu City hasn't had a recorded coronavirus infection in the last 12 days, and neighboring Mie Prefecture hasn't had one for, like, I think it's 3 weeks now. Now, we can go till we're blue in the face about, yeah, that's just because they haven't tested people and whatever, but the signs are there that maybe things are starting to come around. As we speak right now, Gifu Prefecture is one of 39 of Japan's 47 prefectures to have its state of emergency lifted from midnight tonight, I think. the seven prefectures that won't have their state of emergency lifted are the metropolitan conurbations of Tokyo and Osaka. So Osaka and Hyogo, I think it's Tokyo, Saitama, Chiba, Kanagawa, I may be missing one, could be Ibaraki, I don't know. But a lot of the country is kind of moving out of the lockdown phase. Now, that's not to say that people are going to go buck wild in the streets and like start splashing the cash at karaoke and places like that. It's going to be a little bit of a kind of, yeah, it's like probably like coming out from a hangover. Just you have to start adjusting your eyes and you have to just stay a bit steady on your feet. But there's there are some signs of light at the end of the tunnel, I think, John. Which brings me on to a really, really good question. Gogo Omiya Adija on Twitter. We were talking about the FC Gifu reversible bucket hats, which look as good as I've made them sound. And if listeners to this podcast know anything, it's that they know I know my headwear, right, John? There ain't no doubt about that, is there?
I think hat is your middle name, Stu.
Yes, most definitely. I know what yours is. Yours is Roger. I remember that from the last podcast.
Yes, that's right.
Roger, hat and Roger. Jesus.
More orthodox.
Yeah, it sounds like an upscale gastropub, the hat and Roger. Anyway, yeah, Gogo Amir Adijats. We were talking about like going back into the stadiums, and he asked me, quote, is there anything that would stop you attending fixtures if they were staged in the summer? And the easy answer is no. I think that the visceral reaction is, oh, once the stadium's open, then I'll be there. Whether that's in a professional capacity or a fan capacity, it doesn't really matter, to be quite honest. But there are some things that people will have to take into account, I think. For me, and this is my own personal opinion, and I'll be interested to hear what you say about what you think, John, having like would you take your family to a game, for instance? I think the thing that I need in order to be able to watch a game safely is I would need hand sanitizer. And if there wasn't the correct provision of hand sanitizers, then I don't think I'd go. What I do think, though, is I think when the stadiums open up, I think it will be mandated that they will have to have a certain number of sanitizing stations for a certain number of seats. So, for example, there'll be one hand sanitizing station for every 50 seats or something along those lines. Food stores, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I love Gifu's food and it's amazing. But if they can't operate, then I'll take my own. And I think that'll be something that a lot of people might do, even if it's to the detriment of the overall experience. Masks, I mean, I probably, if I go in a professional capacity, I will have to wear a mask. I'm almost certain of that. I don't know if they'll ask fans to wear masks. That's a tricky one. What do you think, John? You're coming at it from a slightly different angle. Would you be comfortable taking your family to a game in say the middle of July?
These are all good. This is a great question, by the way, from Gogo Omiya Adija. Yeah. We're obviously not exactly, I wouldn't say bereft of content, but we're struggling, so we really appreciate the assist on this one. I think all the points you've made are solid, and this is a tricky one for me because I live in one of the prefectures where the state of emergency is not lifted at the moment, and I think Tokyo, and again we don't want to get into statistics too much because let's be honest, neither of us knows enough about statistics to make sense of them, But yeah, I think Tokyo had 30 new coronavirus cases recorded today. This is we're recording on Thursday, May the 14th. I think there's still a sense that that is probably too many for the state of emergency to be lifted anytime soon. But this, I think, yeah, like you said, there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. In terms of stadiums, one thing I want to mention that hasn't come up yet is it might depend which stadium we're talking about. Because, you know, the one of the great things about J Leagues is a weird and wonderful variety of stadia, and some of them get more crowded than others. Mm. Let's be diplomatic. So I think there is a sense, for example, that it might, whether I take my family or not, isn't, I don't think I can give a blanket yes or no. When I was 18 and I used to watch Stoke City every week with no commitments, and to be honest, no regard for my own safety. As soon as Stoke City played a game, I would go. I've been to games with. I went to a game with tonsillitis once, and very heavy painkillers, which was a mistake. I had an operation on my foot one morning, Saturday morning. Went to the game in the afternoon, but the anaesthetic wore off at half time, and I couldn't walk. You know, it's just these things. But yeah, now when you factor in family. It becomes harder to give a definite. I think I'm also just getting old, and it's difficult to give kind of definitive yes or no answers. But and I'm also not one of these people. I'm not a kind of foil hat wearing conspiracy theorist or anything. But I do think just because the government tells me it's safe to do something now that wasn't safe before, I don't then, like you said, I don't throw caution to the wind and just say, oh well, if the government says it's safe, I'll do it. On the mask point, I have a feeling that if we're talking just purely about my kind of metropolitan urban bubble here, I'm sure that they'll ask or require you to wear a mask. And if you don't have one at the entrance to the stadium, I don't think they'll let you in. Maybe they give you one.
Mm-hmm.
And ask you to wear it. I mean, I don't know legally if they can. I guess private businesses can refuse entry to people for all kinds of spurious reasons, can't they? I don't think they have to, you know, I suppose you could put it on and then take it off, and then they just keep repeatedly asking you to put it back on. I don't know. But yeah, I think masks will be a must. I think hand sanitizer is another, having your temperature checked.
Yes.
At the entrance is another thing. Just because you've paid for a ticket, you're holding a ticket, it's not going to guarantee you admission, I don't think. I think you're going to have to wear a mask. I think you're going to have your temperature taken. And yeah, I think social distancing, it just becomes problematic by definition when you're in a stadium, just as it becomes difficult by definition when you're in a bus or a train.
Yes.
You're walking to a stadium. If, you know, 40,000 people are trying to get to the same place at the same time, and the place that they're trying to get to is designed for you to be in a small space and not 2 meters apart. But I've come around a little bit on the idea that I think it is doable. I think it's possible to enforce social distancing 95% effectively, but it's going to take some very, very careful logistical planning, and it's also going to take cooperation on the part of fans. You know, like, we don't need any people kind of reading their rights to underpaid stadium staff and saying, oh, it's not, you know, you can't force me to wear a mask. It's like, just put one on, you know, for God's sake, so we can watch games in the stadium. And then I thought maybe I'd go to games, but I wouldn't take my son or my wife. But then if I'm gonna come back home to them from the stadium, bringing potentially, you know, coronavirus with me, maybe we may as well all go to the stadium. So it's tricky. I do think there's going to be some things like limited stadium capacity, for example.
Okay.
Which might help. I don't think, you know, I mean, Nissan Stadium, closest stadium to me now, has 70,000 seats. I'm sure when the J League comes back, they could probably sell 60,000 seats at this point, for the first game at least. But I don't think they will. I think it's going to be capped.
Do you think it'll be something like every other seat will be available?
Yeah, I think that's possible, or maybe even two seats. I don't know, because I'm not, I don't know enough about the science of the of infectious disease to tell you what would be ideal. But surely as much distance as you can realistically get between between people is got to be the goal, hasn't it? Or maybe like families can sit together and then there's a block of seats, you know, preventing you, you know, that households can sit together. Members of the, sorry, let me clarify, members of the same household will probably be able to sit together, but then there has to be a kind of buffer zone of empty seats to the next household or the next person.
I think you said it there. I think there needs to be kind of there needs to be some middle ground between clubs and supporters and the stadium staff. I think it's going to be, I mean, the proof of the pudding is going to be in the hands of the what do you call it, the core supporters behind the goals, or the self-styled ultras who congregate together behind goals and usually do a great job of providing atmosphere. I wonder, I mean, we all saw the Vissel Kobe Yokohama FC game in week one, where Mikitani, the Kobe chairman, told his fans not to sing and not to chant. I wonder if that'll be a requirement. It's going to be difficult. Once fans do get back in the stadium, it is going to be difficult to suppress those kind of those urgings to shout when a goal scored, or to scream when Gifu concede a ridiculous late equaliser, or all those kind of things. But I wonder if there's going to be. But my guess is that some J League guidelines are going to be passed down possibly in the latter half of May, first half of June. They might send them up as a test balloon, just to see how fans react. And I wonder if there's going to be some kind of like negotiations or that kind of thing. Just lastly on this, I actually think the chairman Mitsuru Murai has actually done a fairly decent job in all this. Like, he's been kind of bit behind the scenes a bit, but he and the J League have, you know, they've done the best they can, I think, in this situation. And I think that, yeah, he'll get, once the J League does restart again, I think hopefully all the hard work and the kind of the countless Zoom meetings and whatever that that he's had, hopefully they come to pay off for him, because I think the J League have done a reasonable job of kind of managing this situation.
I think that's, I'd agree with that. I think it's an almost impossible, it's obviously not impossible, but it's a virtually impossible job that he's had to do, I think.
Yeah, there's no training for this kind of thing, which is what a lot of sports leagues across the world are finding out right now.
Well, just the Premier League in the UK today is in a real mess in terms of its plans. You know, there's obviously no consensus at all between the clubs, and that's a slightly different comparison, because there's really big money involved there compared to, say, J League. But I think it's good to see, from what I can see of the social media, for example, of all clubs, the online profile of all clubs, is that there is a definite, like, the word league does include the kind of, it connotates the idea of like a union, you know, and I think that's been very evident in the J League, that solidarity, which I think has been disappointingly absent in some other leagues. And I'm thinking about the Premier League in particular, where, you know, kind of self-interest or just kind of confusion seems to be prevalent. You know, Ben Mabley's tweeting about this quite a lot. You know, there doesn't seem to really be any, you know, they called their big project Restart, but there's not really any sign of it actually coming to fruition. So I think, yeah, unity and solidarity of the J League's been impressive. And I think it's been key over the last month or so.
I thought Ben Mabley only tweeted pictures, mood pictures of his beer and his lamps in his place of residence. But no, he has been tweeting about this, and the Premier League is in a difficult place right now. But the J League, hopefully we have some light at the end of the tunnel. Finally tonight, John, this is kind of breaking news tonight.
We are killing it tonight, Stuart, with the breaking.
It's going crazy at Extra Time Towers. I only came across this as I was on my way home from work tonight. But apparently the Emperor's Cup, of which people will remember that it was going to be a wholly amateur tournament until two J1 teams were parachuted in at the semi-final stage in order so that they can win those semi-finals and contest a final, and the winner would take a place in the Asian Champions League in the following year. Apparently, that tournament design hasn't been ratified by the Japan Football Association, the JFA. You remember that it was proposed in late April, so probably when the coronavirus in Japan was at its worst, or when it was actually looking its worst. But since that date, and since that plan has been put forward, the JFA they haven't signed off on this deal, and the according to a report in Gekisaka, which is a kind of Japanese kind of football website, sometimes what they write is true, sometimes what they write isn't true, but according to Gekisaka, from what I read, they are still planning to negotiate and maybe change the system again. So there may be more J League clubs that are actually allowed into the competition. The reason they said, I think there was a JFA meeting yesterday. What's the date today? Friday. Well, it's just turned Friday. Happy Friday, John.
Thank you.
It was actually, there was a board meeting today, and the one of the JFA representatives said that the current situation now is a lot different from what it was when they came up with this, trying to think of a correct adjective here. I can't think of one. Just
atrocious?
Hair-brained.
Revolutionary?
Wild, if we're going to be accurate about it. But yeah, the situation has changed in Japan, and it's different on this day than it was on April 22nd or 23rd, whenever they decided previously. And so that's another kind of like chink of light at the end of the tunnel. Like if the JFA can see things are changing, then there might be a more kind of traditional Emperor's Cup. I know this is just breaking tonight, John, but like, what are your initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it was difficult. We discussed the previous kind of proposed format that you mentioned, that was mainly with the focus on the amateur teams. And I think we kind of agreed to hold fire on criticizing it wholesale, because we recognize that it might be a necessary evil, or nobody was presenting it as a great idea, but more like a kind of, you know, the making the best of a worst case situation. But yeah, I don't think anybody was really enthused about the format that was unveiled in April. So if there can be a better version, then I'm all for it. I'm still not sure. I understand the emphasis on amateur teams, but I'm not sure. I don't think there's that much money in the Emperor's Cup unless you win it. And I'm not sure if the, you know, amateur clubs are really hanging on, you know, desperate for a kind of cash injection from playing Emperor's Cup games. So I do still have this kind of lingering suspicion that, just depending on how the J League restarts and how that goes, maybe it would be better to just hold off on the Emperor's Cup for 2020. And I know that is, again, that's also a radical and possibly unpopular idea, but I do think it's the attraction, the beauty of that competition is it's all the teams in Japan, as much as possible. So I'm not really sure if, stripping out so many teams, even if it is essential, it makes it, that might outweigh the benefits of just postponing it to, you know, holding it next year in full. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a team, and I can't remember which team it is. It must be in the Tokai area, because I read it on like a Tokai football fan site. I want to say FC Carrier, but I might be wrong with that. I think that there's one team in this area that doesn't want to go into the Emperor's Cup this year because they're worried that they wouldn't be able to satisfy conditions in order to hold a JFA kind of licensed game. So what they were saying, if I remember correctly, is that they felt that if they were to host a genuine Emperor's Cup game as opposed to a regional like kind of qualifying game, there would be certain stipulations about, like we spoke about before with the J-League, maybe people there to take temperature at the gate, masks, hand sanitizers, social distancing, those kind of things. And I think there was one club that said they didn't think they had the logistical capabilities to be able to deal with that. And I think I can't remember if they actually declined the invitation into the prefectural tournament or whether they just outright said, look, if we win, we're not going to go in or whatever, or something like that.
Well, yeah, I think something similar has happened in Germany with the lower divisions of the league there, hasn't it? Because the kind of, the logistics that need to be in place for sort of like, yes, social distancing and temperature checks and things mean that I think all the Bundesliga, you know, the top division clubs and the second division clubs can meet these requirements, but teams in the I don't even want to try and pronounce this, is it regional Liga?
Yeah,
the third division. Oh, yes. But they are having more trouble saying like, yes, we can have a room available for this, and yes, we will be able to provide that. So yeah, perhaps that's another issue. I think that points me towards, would it be better to just you know, hold off on that for this year if it's going to cause these kind of logistical problems. But then again, we do hear the COVID-19 could be around for a while, and one thing I wanted to mention was we do need, when we are allowed back into the stadiums, we have to cooperate, because it doesn't mean, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be loads of articles like, thank God football's back, you know, but it could go away again, you know, if we don't keep on top of this this COVID-19. I was discussing this with my wife this evening, because, you know, obviously state of emergency is lifted in most of Japan, so we're discussing, when's it going to be lifted here? But yeah, I still think, you know, if there's 30 or 40 cases a day in the prefecture next door in Tokyo, it's probably not the right time to send out the message to people that they can, you know, things can go back to, in inverted commas, normal. So yeah, I think we do have to be mindful of the fact that, you know, that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, so the football could come back and then suddenly an entire team test positive for this thing, and then football goes away again. So we got to take the baby steps, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think pragmatism is of the order right now. I think it's not going to do anyone any good to just jump headfirst back into the way things were before. Like I said, I think it's just about taking baby steps as a society, I would think. And you know, it's, people say, like, all around the world that football is, or football support is a reflection of the society, and I just think that we will, I hope that football supporters take it upon themselves to create a safe a safe atmosphere and an atmosphere where people can go and watch games, because I do want to watch football. I do want to go to the stadium, but there will be a lot of people, and especially families, that won't go there unless it is made safe for them. And that's in the same way you wouldn't go to like a Costco or a supermarket if you didn't feel that things were being made safe for you, then like football is a difficult sell as well. But I don't know. Hopefully things do continue to progress. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on this, the JFA, and see what they do with the Emperor's Cup, because even though they haven't ratified the previous like iteration of the tournament that they came up with, there's still no word on what they're actually planning to do. Just I think the phrase that I saw was continuous deliberation, if my Japanese is as good as I think it is, and that sounds like a very Japanese phrase to avoid making a decision, I think. But yeah, watch this space. We might even break some more news next week, John, if we if it comes to it like that.
Breaking news. Oh, good. Let's try and do it again.
Yeah. Well, and this is maybe when the news breaks, the Thursday/Friday graveyard shift. we should do it more often. I think there's not that much more in the Japanese football world. I just want to say a big well done to the K-League United crew, who did a great job last weekend with the opening of the Korean K-League. There was a stunning goal for Gangwon, I think it was, when they beat FC Seoul. It was good to see football back, and props to the K-League United people. They did a really, really good job of keeping across social media and keeping the English version updated. It's really what the J-League should be doing as well. Although, having said that, the J-League did advertise a talk show between three of the international players in the J-League. I think it's Michael Olunga from Kashua Reysol, Mitch Langerak from Australia and Nagoya Grampus, and England international Jay Bothroyd. He's invited into this J-League international talk, and I think, I'm not sure when it is, I probably should have looked that up, but I think that'll be an interesting thing, and it'll be good for international fans of the J-League to listen to those kind of varied experiences of the J-League, and it'll be good to hear what they think of the current situation. John, having got that off my chest, I think
can I jump in briefly?
Please do.
I want to echo the well wishes to the K-League United crew and the K-League in general, but I think the highlight of the highlights was definitely sort of ex Mito and Yamagata.
Yes.
What were you going? Fridge.
unit.
Outhouse. Yeah. Unit. There you go. Jefferson Bayona. If you haven't seen, there's a really short Twitter video of him. I think he's won a free kick, you know, as is his want, and he kind of holds. He's sitting on the floor playing with his socks, and he kind of extends his hand for the referee to help him up, but the referee like refuses on the kind of social distancing criteria. It's quite a funny 10-second clip if you get a chance. And I think last but not least, Stu, we've made it to the 15th of May, so it's the J-League's birthday today. It's the 27th anniversary, isn't it? The 15th of May was the very first game
back
in 1993. So the J-League's YouTube channel, and I'm pretty sure this is Japan only, I think it's the Japanese YouTube channel, but I'd love it if I was wrong, but Navy Blue Wasp might be disappointed, I have a feeling. They're showing this weekend, they're showing all five of the original opening round games in full.
No way. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so Friday night at 7 p.m. Japan time, you can watch Marinos against Tokyo Verde. And then on Saturday, there is an absolute marathon starting at 10 a.m. They're showing the other four games from round one back in the day. So there's a game at 10 a.m., 12 p.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. And I think 12 p.m. lunchtime is a Flugels against the Shimizu S-Pulse. I'm really hoping that these games will be available to watch later because I'm working all day on Saturday.
Mm.
Surely nobody's going to watch all four games in a row on Saturday afternoon, are they, Stuart? So that,
well,
I'm sure
it just depends. I'm going to crack open my first beer at 9 o'clock and see where the day takes me, I think.
Yeah, but anyway, happy birthday, J-League. And if you're free on Friday night or indeed all day Saturday and you want to watch some classic opening day action, that might be a good go-to this weekend.
Look at that, breaking news and weekend tips. God, what else can't we do here? This is nothing but good news. So before we wrap up, John, I just want to say, as usual, a big thank you to everyone who listens to this. It's really good to get people's feedback, and we appreciate all the feedback, both constructive and positive. Well, most of it's positive, but also I'd like to say a big thanks to the Patreons as well. Their continued support is really good. We say this every week, but there's so much stuff right now that you could spend your money on, and that, you know, money is very important right now, and the fact that you decide to help us and support us with the podcast is pretty amazing, really. I want to just dispel a rumor that the Patreon money went towards JTalkPod, Ben Maxwell buying a private Zoom audience with Yuya Hashiuchi. I don't think that happened. And I think JTalkPod, I think Ben was on the outside looking in enviously on Matsumoto Yamaga's Hashiuchi when he was calling up.
For a change,
yeah. When he was calling up Matsumoto Yamaga fans. John, thanks for joining me tonight, and hopefully we'll reconvene next week, all right?
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Thanks to the listeners and the Patreons especially, and everyone stay safe. Have a good week.
Yeah, absolutely. I echo that. The most important thing is to stay safe, stay well, look after each other, and until next week, we'll see you then. Goodbye for now.